I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? We are here today, the coach approach. We're going to dive into a lot of offensive line, fixing the O-line, getting into some questions. It's funny. We talked last week. You're like, hey, you got any questions for the coach approach you want talked about? Well, you guys responded. We have a plethora. I don't know if you know what plethora means, Ant, but a plethora of questions with the man himself, Ant for 49ers Cutback. How we doing, my friend?
Doing great. And you know what? Plethora was the word of the week last week. I used that in an episode. So we're on the same track. And you're right. There's a plethora of offensive linemen to talk about. And when I see questions come pouring in, and most of them are about offensive line, it makes me happy. That's kind of my sweet spot. I love talking offensive line. That was the first position I ever coached. And so it's just something that's near and dear to my heart. And it's so important that the offensive line is good. And Chris Foerster shocked us all with the what's the level that you can be at. And that's a perfectly good point. But you have to have a good offensive line if you're going to be able to run the football consistently in the NFL. And I think the 49ers know they need to get a little bit better. And me and you know there's a few positions they need to improve if they are going to fix this offensive line, which is not terrible, but not exactly great either.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if everything's cooking with wide receivers, quarterback, and running backs, it makes up for a lot of the ills on the offensive line. But whenever one of those things goes off and you're missing Ayuk or you're missing CMC or you're missing Kittle or it's raining outside for Brock Purdy, man, that O-line looks suspect. And so that's what we want to handle today. So we're going to be talking a little bit of philosophy, which, you know, we're going to get into some of the draft kind of tropes that we always say with 49ers, which I'm super excited about. We're going to get some specific players. We're going to be talking, just to give you some of these guys, we're going to be talking some Jalen Moore. We're going to be talking about Jackson Slater. We're going to be talking about, Marcus Ware from Montana State. That's going to Connor Colby. We're throwing a lot of names out there. And hopefully whenever you walk away from today's show, you understand what the 49ers look for in certain positions and why these certain players are fits or are not fits. So our first question comes to us from Jonathan H., and I just love this. And if we spend 75% of today's episode on this question, I will not be upset. I love it. This is what he asks. Just because someone is not an elite offensive tackle, people usually say, oh, he could play guard. Well, the question is this. For the 49ers, why is it that some guys can move from offensive tackle to guard? What are the traits that exist or don't exist for that to be said? Because anytime I mention Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks Jr., Armon Membo, the very first comment usually is, I have him graded as a guard. So my question is, what is it that makes an offensive tackle great that could slide to guard? And what's the difference between those two? So let's dive in and unpack that, Ant. Difference between a tackle that can play guard versus a guard that can't play tackle.
Yeah, so I mean, usually when people are going through their metrics, this is the normal NFL way. It starts with arm length. If you don't have long enough arms, most teams are going to write you off and move you inside. And it doesn't mean anything physically besides arm length. They just think you can't withstand playing on the outside against some of the longer edge defenders. Because when you're playing offensive tackle, you're playing in space. So you have to have a certain amount of athletic ability. You have to have a certain amount of lateral quickness. Those things definitely make you an offensive tackle in the NFL. If you lack a little bit when it comes to lateral quickness, or you lack a little bit when it comes to some of the things of operating in space, they will move you inside because defensive tackles aren't as fast. So laterally, you can still be able to hang with the best of the best. Then what happens is you have to have other traits that make you a guard compared to playing out on the edge. Against the edge players, you're going to go against guys that are 250, 265 pounds. On the interior, they're going to be 300 plus. So then you have to add the trait of an anchor, and you have to be able to really withstand the bull rush. So the perfect guard prospect, the guy that can go from tackle to guard, going from college to the pros, is having enough lateral quickness to stay with the more athletic defensive tackles and an anchor to be able to withstand when they get a bull rush coming at you. Those are the first two things that I look at, and that's why I stumbled onto Dominic Pooney last year. The lateral quickness was good enough, pretty good actually, and the anchor was really all time. It was really good. And so that's why he could move in from tackle, because in the NFL, his spatial awareness, being able to play tackle, some of those speed guys would have been able to handle him around the edge. So that's what you're talking about when you're talking about going from tackle to guard.
Yeah, my notes, and it's funny because like I sent this question to Ant, but I did my own like thought how I would. And it, like, I'm just looking at my notes and Ant's just like, check, 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 which I love. I love that we're in agreement. I put length for offensive tackles equals stopping speed. Right, and the 34-inch measured arms, length negates speed on the edge because you're blocking in space, you don't have help, you're on an island, and you got that speed edge rusher with the bid coming off. I did some James Pierce Jr. tape this morning breaking down for our Patreon, and it was just like, man, pure speed. And so how do you stop that? Man, it's those long arms. And you got to have that kick slide. The kick slide, the feet. So the two people that kind of come to mind for length, right? The 49ers don't necessarily need 34-inch arms. You look at Jalen Moore, 33. You look at Colton McKivitz, 33. They're below that threshold. But then you get a guy like Wyatt Millam out of West Virginia, who I love his tape. But he's not even 33-inch arms. He's 32. So that's one of those guys where you look at the guard you look at the tackle tape, and you say, man, anchor, footwork's good. The length's not there. That's one of those guys you kick inside. Now, if we're talking about kick slide, I think the best feat in this draft, Ant, is Armon Membo out of Missouri. Now, I want to deviate from this conversation and jump back to it real quick. What are your thoughts about Armon Membo playing left tackle? He's never done it. He's only played on the right side. Are you hesitant? Is he a right tackle only? What are your thoughts there? Because I kind of struggle with the idea not of drafting Embu. I think he could play, you know, guard. I think he could play right tackle. Could he be a left tackle? Do you see him as that?
I don't exactly project him to be a left tackle. I think he's got natural ability when it comes to footwork and the strength and those types of things that you need out there. He's got a pretty good slide and good footwork. He has good balance as well. So he could definitely translate there. When I've been watching him, the first thing that stands out to me is that he seems like a right tackle in the NFL. The way that he plays, the more physical nature in which he plays, it usually translates to a right tackle. So I think it's a possibility. I think having no tape and no experience on it definitely leaves a little bit of a shadow of a doubt of if he could do it or not. So I would say right now I see him as a right tackle, but I could see a team saying, you know what, we think with his traits, he could play left tackle and taking a chance on him. So that's always a possibility.
Okay. All right. Now, Let's go back to the second part of your answer, which was awesome. What guards need that perhaps tackles don't. And we talked about that anchor. We think about Mike McGlinchey, who was all length, no anchor. That dude just got put on skates continuously. And I think one of this year's drafts just studs is Will Campbell. And you talked about Dominic Pooney and how he had this great anchor. And it just like, it was so easy. That's how I see Will Campbell, but with more upside than Pooney. Will Campbell does not get pushed back. Does he have the length? I think he does. Does he have the footwork? I don't know. Like, that's why I see Will Campbell as a damn good player and probably going to start left guard year one. Could be a left tackle. I think the length is there. I'm not sure if the finesse, the kick slide, and all those things are there. But that is one of those guys that just, man, I personally think that he's a guard that could play tackle. I don't think he's a tackle that you could kick in, if that makes sense. Like, he's a guard that could.
Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida? And here's the thing, Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in or out as quick as 15 minutes. And now they offer MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for this sports season. So, head to prizepicks.com, use the link in the description of this podcast, or download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code 49ers. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here's my favorite thing about this is it's just so simple. You pick two players, and let's say you're into basketball. Is Steph Curry going to score over 26.5 points? Is Jimmy Butler going to score over 20.5 points? Over, under, you get paid. If you get it right, that's where it is. So go to Prize Picks and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ers. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Now, the vertical and horizontal movement in the run game. Now, this is where I want to look into a player that never should have been drafted by the 49ers. That's Aaron Banks. The guards need vertical or horizontal movement. And so in most power schemes, the guards, you got to be able to take that D tackle and push him back against his will. Niners don't do that too much. They move horizontal. That's the outside zone, all that stuff. Aaron Banks doesn't do that well as well. And so, like, what I didn't have Banks on my board, 49ers board, because I was like, this guy does not fit what we do. Panned out, that was correct. And we've seen, you know, he had one good year, then two back-to-back bad years. And I think that was an issue. So whenever you're looking at these guards, how do you measure, or do you put something in your notes for, man, this guy can move people vertically or horizontally when looking for a 49er scheme?
Yeah, the first thing I want to do is I want to see first step quickness. That's pretty much the most consistent thing with the 49ers offensive linemen. You have to have a really good first step, because you got to get to your benchmarks. You got to get to your locations, your spots. That's what's important about the outside zone. But that's also important about getting and winning against a defensive tackle who's head up. You've got to make sure you get to that point to win. So that's the first step. After that, then I want to find somebody that's got some hands that can get their hands on you and then get underneath players. I don't want guys who are going to stand too tall. That was one of the question marks about Aaron Banks. Was he athletic enough and have the ability on the lower half of his body to be flexible enough to get underneath guys and turn them? I didn't see that a lot. I saw a lot of waist bending. I saw a lot of lunging. Those are the types of things you've seen, especially over the last 2 years when he's been dealing with injury. So the evaluation process starts with the first step. And then for me, it goes to hands, but I want to watch the balance issues with the legs, and I want to see how they handle that. And then I want to see how they torque and twist their hips when they make contact with a second level player. Can they get those hips around and get a player turned? Those are really important for me when I'm watching these guys. And so that's what I kind of start with. And then I start getting into, hey, let's look at the lateral quickness and pass protection. Let's look at the anchor. Those types of things all are the focal points, but it starts with footwork. There's a lot of times I don't come off a player's film as far as from the waist down for an entire film. And then I'll go back and watch the upper body, because I want to see the footwork, and it's so important to play, college football or NFL football at offensive line with good footwork.
Yeah, I like that. So we're talking interior offensive line. Let's give a concrete example. I think it was NY Niners who asked this at the end of last show, and we said we'd look into it. Let's talk Connor Colby. Now, it's not going to be all offensive line show. We're going to get into some CMC questions and some where CMC should line up slot and kind of those two back questions here in a minute. But let's give a concrete example. Let's talk Connor Colby, interior offensive lineman from Iowa, 6'5", 305. You just talked about first step quickness, that explosiveness, and being able to turn and twist and do all those things. How, first off, for those of you who don't know, Iowa is the outside zone capital of the world. There's a reason why George Kittle, every single quality tight end in the NFL, comes through there, because they can all pro block. You have to play there in the Ferentz system. Talk to me about Connor Colby and why you think he is or is not a fit. I'm going to go out on a limb. I think you think he's a fit. Tell me about Connor Colby.
Yeah, I mean, you got the short area quickness. This is a guy that can change direction. So he's got the lateral quickness that you need to be an interior offensive lineman for the 49ers. He also gets to his landmarks. You know, I mean, that's one of the things. When these guys are pushing to second level, they've got to be able to get there and then execute the blocks. What do we get frustrated the most about Jake Brendel? It's not his ability to get there. It's his ability to make the block when he gets there. But Connor Colby does it consistently. And then I've seen a good enough anchor. I don't think it's Dominic Pooney level. I don't think it's – but it's a good enough anchor to be able to hold up against the better defensive tackles. So I liked him. You know, I think there's a lot to like about a potential day three pick that you could step in and develop. And Chris Foerster likes guys like this. So to me, he's got the size. He could even put a little bit more size on his frame. And he's got the athleticism to be able to get to where he needs to go. He's a prototypical guard prospect for the 49ers because of the talent that he has. He has his weaknesses just like everybody else, but I think the strengths definitely trend towards a 49ers type offensive line. So yeah, I enjoyed breaking him down this week. I thought he was a pretty good player that I hadn't got a chance to watch.
My favorite thing about Connor Colby, started 11 games as a true freshman on the Iowa offensive line. That does not happen. Tristan Wirfs was the last dude that did that. Then you look at his starts. 37 games started at right guard. 6 games started at right tackle. 6 games started at left guard. 2,700 plus snaps. This dude has experience, multiple positions. I think he can play. I do agree with you. Interior guy only. We'll have to see what his measurements are. But he's more of... I don't see him blocking in space on that, you know, against speed edge rushers. That's just not a recipe for success. So, again, breaking down the philosophical ideas of a tackle moving to guard and why that's possible and what makes guards different than tackles, and then seeing a player like Connor Colby for Iowa, hopefully we can put the practical approach to our philosophical answer earlier and make some sense there. I do want to check in on the comments here. We're going to talk some Jackson Slater later. I wanted to bring this up, a little off topic, but man, you nostalgia is like, that's my drug, man. I don't know if you got to watch the SNL 50th anniversary. I was just smiling ear to ear, like just seeing all these old, you know, actors, comedians, musicians that like, oh, I was so happy. My wife is like, man, it's crazy how much you like this. I was like, why are you talking right now? Like, I want to watch this. Like, don't make fun of me afterwards. I'm joking. I didn't say that. But Joe says this. When I started watching the NFL in 1971, there were 26 teams. The draft was 17 rounds. 442 players were selected. That's 180 more than the Brock Purdy pick. It's weird that the NFL has not added more rounds because the undrafted free agents, it's weird how they settled where they are. I doubt they'll adjust it. But, man, I do think there should be more rounds in the draft. I would say 10 would be ideal. If you could change the draft, would you add more rounds to it or no?
I wouldn't personally, but if the NFL feels like they can make more money off television rights, they might add another day to go ahead and have more draft picks. You know, and it's interesting because back then you drafted so many players, you still had 46-man rosters. So it's not like the rosters have changed a whole lot. And there's still a lot of opportunities, but I do think the way that the contracts are structured, they like the having those undrafted free agents that are signing three-year deals with the restricted free agent, you know, on top of that, you can get a little bit out of it. So it would have to come down to probably contracts. But as far as viewing wise, I watched the whole third round anyway. Shoot, I've been live for the third round before. The third day. I have no problems with them adding another day.
Same. Four-day draft broadcast. I love it. Invader, as a draft nerd, I'm always down for adding more rounds. Yeah, I remember switching over from ESPN to ESPN2, whenever they would show the later ones. And I was like, all right, now we're into it. And I didn't know who most of the players were back whenever I was a kiddo. But, man, I just loved it. I've always loved the draft. So let's step away from offensive line. We'll come back. But I don't want this just to be an offensive line episode. We're coming back. Charles H. asked this question, and I think it's interesting. I did a little diving into snap counts. Here's what he said. He said, do you guys think we should deploy Christian McCaffrey in the slot more, especially while Brandon Ayuk is getting back into form? So I went through and I divided snap rates for where he lined up. In 2024, this year he didn't play much. He had 9 snaps in the slot. That's it. That came out to 5% of his season-long snaps. Now in 2023, when he played the entire season and was offensive player of the year, he had 109 snaps in the slot, which was out to 11%. So what are your thoughts about moving Christian McCaffrey to the slot role more often moving forward? And we'll talk a little bit Jordan Mason, Brandon Ayuk, but what are your thoughts there in general?
I mean, yeah, it definitely makes sense because you can manipulate matchups. And I think that's when Kyle really puts him in the slot, is when he thinks he's going to get a matchup that is Christian McCaffrey on a safety or Christian McCaffrey on a linebacker. And Christian's so good with especially choice routes, being able to determine a leverage and where he's supposed to go. So I like him out there. The question mark is going to be, how often do you want a empty set? Because a lot of people don't really care for empty sets.
I hate
putting
them.
Christian McCaffrey in the slot is usually because you have an empty set. You motion him out, you put him there. You could go with some two running back looks, but that is something else Kyle would have to figure out. I think having Debo allowed the 49ers to run a lot more of those Christian McCaffrey in the slot, because then they could put Debo in the backfield and still kind of mess with people's personnel groupings. So I don't know what that would look like, but I don't have any problems with Christian McCaffrey out there, because anyone that goes to training camp and watches his one-on-ones knows he's pretty much unguardable. That's and crazy, so those man. Matchups really work out. He's a matchup problem because there's a lot of teams that are going to think they can put their good linebacker on him, and that's just not going to work.
Yeah, and so the second part to this question, shout out to Rusty, CMC's like a coach on the field. Yeah, Shanahan talks about this all the time. Like, he's the smartest player without the ball in his hands that he's ever coached. And so here's my thing. The second part is this. Thoughts on using Mason and CMC together in the backfield at the same time. We have never seen this. And I think a lot of it has to do with Jordan Mason. But I'm like, man, why don't we move CMC to the Debo role part-time? Like, obviously, Christian McCaffrey's your running back. But allow Mason to be a true running back. And so instead of motioning CMC to an empty set where there's nobody, keep Mason in the backfield. Put CMC in that Debo role where he does motion back in that kind of pony, you know, two running back set, whatever. Like, I always want the threat of a rush attempt to take place. And if that means keeping Jordan Mason in the backfield and moving CMC everywhere around, I love that. I am not one of the ones that think that CMC and Jordan Mason are mutually exclusive. I think they could operate together. I don't know why Shanahan will not trust Jordan Mason. I think it's funny because I listen to other Niner shows and I hear people say, well, Jordan Mason can't catch. Jordan Mason can't catch. And I get irate. I was talking to my man David about this. And because he's got over an 80% catch rate. It's one of the highest in the team. But Brock Purdy won't throw it to him. So there's definitely something, whether it's Kyle doesn't trust him and tells Brock not to throw it to him, or Brock just decides not to throw it to him. They don't throw it to him. They don't trust him. I don't know why that is. And so, and am I the only one that's like crazy enough to think that Jordan Mason is a quality enough back to determine to basically that dude needs 5 to 10 carries a game every game? I don't give a damn if Christian McCaffrey's 100%.
Well, I think it makes sense in general to just give Christian McCaffrey some breaks, especially with some of the injuries that he's had. A lot of it is because of wear and tear during his career. But Jordan Mason has proven that he can run the ball consistently. And so if you need a threat of running the football, it makes a lot of sense to put him out there with McCaffrey. McCaffrey can handle a lot of the receiving role, and really working into the Debo role is something, if they don't want to lose that role, they're going to have to do. Because besides Debo Samuel, the closest thing probably around the league is a guy like Christian McCaffrey that can do the things that he did pretty well. McCaffrey could have been drafted as a slot receiver easily if that was what he had decided to do and not play running back. But I like a tandem of Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey. I think it would play games with a defense who's trying to decide which personnel grouping to put on the field. And you might get some favorable matchups where you get a good running lane for Jordan Mason because they pull a linebacker off and put a nickel corner to deal with Christian McCaffrey. Now you've got a successful run game. So I like the idea of those two guys playing together. I just don't know if Kyle likes it. And, you know, Jordan Mason worked really hard on getting his hands together. He did a lot better during training camp and preseason. It's not really the catching of the football that's the problem. My guess is it's something a little bit more. I know that during the season, we saw a couple of times where he should have stayed in to block and he released. Those types of things, I'm sure, frustrate Kyle. But they've got to make a decision. They need to use the full repertoire of Jordan Mason in the offense. I think that's the way you're going to make this team better and make up for some of the deficiencies in other areas where you could be losing Debo and part of your offense.
Yeah, and I think I get upset because shout out to Kawachipto, and he's right. He's like, Mason's not where he's supposed to be and that his routes are bad. Well, so are Isaac Garrido's. Isaac Garrido can't run a screen to save his life. That dude is way outside the blocking parameters of the inside release screen every time. And Kyle's mentioned this in post-game press conferences multiple times because he'll run his route and he'll catch the ball and give the target to the quarterback. And there's nobody that can block for him as wide as he is. But yet we continue to throw the ball to Isaac Garrido. I understand that his talent in the open field is better, but it's like, man, he fumbles the ball more than Jordan Mason. He drops the ball more than Jordan Mason. His routes are also bad. Not excusing Jordan Mason here, but I'm just like, man, why is the rookie getting all the grace and Jordan Mason like just doesn't? And I felt like, I don't know. I have seen and continue, like, yes, Jordan Mason needs improvement, but it's like he probably 10 times last year, he's just sitting as an outlet to Brock Purdy with nobody anywhere around him, standing still right in front of Brock, and Brock's just freaking doing David Copperfield stuff. And it's like, dude, just check the ball down. Like, I don't care who that is. If that's Ant or, you know, John Chapman sitting there, we can catch that rock, baby. You catch it, you fall forward for two, now you're in second and six. That's a huge positive. So I don't know. I wish there was more trust that would allow this to take place. And so I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But like, I guess I get upset with the double speak that takes place with how much people love Isaac Garrido and like That dude can't run through the right hole to save his life. He can't run the screen to save his life. He fumbles the ball all the time. I think the talent is there, but it's like, man, with Jordan Mason, this team was humming. You didn't miss Christian McCaffrey whenever Jordan Mason was getting the rock till he got injured. And then it was just like, obviously, I don't think Jordan Mason is Christian McCaffrey or anything like that. I don't believe that. But I do believe that he is a starting running back in the NFL. And I really, really wish that they would give him a chance. I see Invader saying they should trade him. Yeah, the tender is going to take place, probably a second-round tender. I don't know what they're going to do there. Maybe you trade him. Would you trade Jordan Mason, or would you because the second-round tender, I think it's just over $4 million. What would you do with Jordan Mason?
Yeah, I think I would take a look. I think it depends on what you're going to get. You know, if you potentially are bringing in another running back, or you're going to, yeah, especially in free agency, if you're going to add somebody, it might be time. You might be able to get somebody a little bit cheaper and then move on from Jordan Mason because of that tender. Because I don't think you're going to put just a right of first refusal.
No.
Because somebody's going to outbid you and get him for nothing. And so you're going to put
you don't get anything. Yeah.
Right. You got to put the second round tender on him. It does come close to $5 million. And that's when you start wondering about investment in a room. You're paying Christian McCaffrey so much money. Can you afford it? You probably can for 1 year. So if you really love Jordan Mason, you go ahead and keep it. But if somebody dangles a fourth round pick, a fifth round pick, a mid round that you could use to jump up and get somebody else, you might entertain the thought. So I think they still would like to have Jordan Mason, but I think there's also a really good possibility they trade him. I've been kind of saying since the end of the season, I thought they might trade him. So I'm going to stick with that right now, that they might end up trading him because of the money situation in the running back room.
Yeah, and they need more running backs. Like, people are like, oh, draft Aston Jinty. I'm like, that's insane. But, like, yeah, this is a great running back draft. If you can get a fourth round for him, maybe. But it's like, golly, Kyle Shanahan, how many injuries did we have in the running back room last year? Five? Why are we trading away a healthy, young running back that could show that he belongs? Yeah, I don't know. I'm keeping Jordan Mason unless I get like a second or third round pick. I don't think a team would offer that because, man, you still got him for one more year. Then he goes and signs and you get a compensation pick. Somebody's going to like him a lot, but we'll see what that is. Right here, Alan, you guys see that John Feliciano just retired. I saw that. Happy for him in his career. Sucks with the knee injury. He even mentioned the knee injury in his retirement. I don't know. Thoughts on Feliciano retiring?
Yeah, it's interesting because I had thought he was going to retire. That was everything that I was kind of putting out there. And then somebody, you know, said to me, hey, David Lombardi saying he's not going to retire. He told David he wasn't going to retire. And so then that was my thought process. Well, now he retired. So a good career. It's unfortunate John Feliciano went out with an injury instead of going out, you know, playing on the field and being able to produce. But I thought he was a good player during his career, and I really liked him. I had high hopes for him this last season, and unfortunately the knee just wouldn't allow him to step in there and do what we all wanted him to do, and that was take over for Jake Brendel, and he just couldn't do it because he was injured.
Yeah, it stinks. But great career, made a lot of money. I love that. That's generational wealth. Wish nothing but the best for people that, you know, put their body on the line. He's going to struggle with those things the rest of his life, but very thankful for what he did. And, man, what if he didn't get injured in that freaking Super Bowl? That's him and Dre Greenlaw going down. Those were the two crucial moments that impacted the rest of the game on both sides of the ball. So now, if you want to bet the NFL draft and you think you know who goes first, man, you know where you got to go. The NFL season may be done, but betting with MyBookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, is still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there, and you can make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. You're a big basketball guy. Who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers or scan this QR code to my right. And you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto, racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
All right, it is time to give the small schools some love.
That's what we're going to do in the offensive line. So let's go. NY Niners, one of his questions last week that he emailed in. And if there are certain questions that you just want done on the coach approach because Ant's so great, man, email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com, and say, hey, I want this for the next Coach Approach show. We'll store those answers and bring them out next Thursday. Please do not hesitate to ask that. So one of the questions were, Ant, what are your thoughts on Marcus Ware, Montana State? His grades are great, but never gets talked about. Let's give some small school love. Montana State, Marcus Ware, interior offensive lineman.
Yeah, a pretty interesting player. Until I got the information, I really hadn't watched him. So it's a tight evaluation, but you're talking about a guy that's, 6'3", about 300 pounds, and he's going to have 32 inch arms. You know, I mean, this is a guy that's got the shorter arms. He has to play on the inside, but I like this film. I went and I watched it. I watched a little bit of the East-West Shrine game as well. Got to check out a little bit of that. And he's a guy that makes sense when you're talking about playing in the zone scheme. He comes from a very heavy zone scheme school, a very run-first team. So that's something that you see a guy that can do that well. So if you want to watch 60% run game and figure out if someone fits, that's what you're going to see. So he did a pretty good job. I liked his efficiency getting to the second level. I thought he did a pretty good job getting to his landmarks. You're not going to see a tremendous athleticism coming from him. He's definitely lacking in that department, but you see the football IQ. He's able to pick up people in twists and stunts. And so he's a guy that I think is a nice day three prospect and potential for the 49ers to grab round 7. If he's available, you might take a flyer on him, but he probably could be an undrafted free agent that the 49ers bring in and try to build, which they've been able to do before. There's nothing elite about him for sure, but there's a lot of things to like. He's got pretty good footwork, but I thought his run blocking was on point. I didn't see enough of the pass blocking to sign off and say, hey, this guy is for sure a guy that can anchor consistently. The arm length and stuff makes him just a guard. So those are going to be some question marks that I probably need to watch even more film on to go through pass protection. But I thought overall he looked like a pretty solid day three prospect, especially when you get to like round 7.
Yeah. And, one of my favorite things about him is has not allowed a sack in 3 consecutive seasons. Now, again, they don't throw the ball. It is run, 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 pass, run, 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 pass. But still, it's there. Was a stud shot put player. I love people that do multiple sports athletes and won a state championship in high school as well. So Montana State football powerhouse. Now let's go to the local kid, Jackson Slater. And the reason why we did not start the show on time is because we were reminiscing about Sacramento State's college and kind of what's going on there. We got a little off track. That's my fault. But talk to me about Jackson Slater, another interior offensive lineman from Sacramento State.
Yeah, so Jackson Slater is built for the zone scheme, playing inside and getting to the second level. He's got a really good first step. He's got heavy hands. And when he gets to the second level, he comes with a ferocity. He's trying to take you out. And so I like that attitude and the physicality that he brings to the interior offensive line. He's got a little nasty in him, and a lot of people are bringing up him at the Senior Bowl, having the belly hanging out. He's got a kind of an attitude, and he's really just one of those guys that's how he plays. And I think the 49ers need a little bit of aggression when you're talking about offensive line. I like that. So I saw that. Now, there are some things about him that he still needs to clean up. When you're talking about his hand placement, it still gets a little out there. So he doesn't consistently get his hands where they're supposed to be. And that's one of the most important things with the punch. He's got a heavy punch, but inconsistency with that is going to make it a little bit tougher for him to win initially. So I saw that. I saw a little bit more waist bending than I like. I like these guys to have a little bit more weight back. And I also do have a concern. And I don't know if you're going to have the same concern, John, about him anchoring against bigger defensive tackles. I do worry about that a little bit. I didn't see as good of an anchor as I like with my interior offensive line, but maybe that's something he could get better if he could work on sinking those hips a little bit more and digging in. But that was something I picked up that I like him. I don't know if I love him because of that factor right there.
Man, I really felt like he's an attacker. Like whenever he's on the I'm going after you, he's at his best. Whenever he has to kind of pass set and wait, it's not really his game. Like this, he should have been a defensive tackle, in my opinion. I wish they flipped him over to the other side. But when you say the same thing about James Poe, or it was Jason Poe, right? Jason Poe. Like this dude is aggressive. So whenever you put him in that passive pass set, whatever, that's not really his game. But this is, you know, a sixth, seventh undrafted free agent type guy that should be on the Niners list just because of the run blocking, like you said. Like, perfect zone fit. And once you get to these day three guys, there has to be something about them that says, yes, he belongs with us. But there's also one or two question marks, which you alluded to. And there's really not any perfect prospects in this draft. Maybe you could talk about Abdul Carter, Mason Graham, Travis Hunter. But, like, whether it's quarterbacks, and we're talking guys going in the top 10, there's question marks that are there. And so I want to transition to, man, I can't stop watching Josh Simmons tape. I'm not saying that because I think the 49ers should take Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, the Ohio State University, coming off an ACL. Now, there's even question marks with his injury. Had an ACL in October. Some sites say it was a patella tear. Some sites say it was just ACL. I don't know. So, like, I don't know what the correct answer is there. I keep getting corrected no matter what I say. Might be both. But, man, can you talk to me just about, again, Chad has his questions too. To me, if Josh Simmons is there and his medical clears, we're not going to be a part of those conversations at the combine. You have to take him. We stay at 11 and don't trade down. What are your thoughts on Josh Simmons and kind of, I think he's the most clear plug-and-play left tackle in this draft class, but obviously the injury is there. And yeah, we all have the ghost of Trent Baalke. What are your thoughts on Josh Simmons if he's even going to be on the board of the 49ers?
Yeah, I mean, if he didn't have the injury, he wouldn't even be available to the 49ers. He would be a top five pick. He is smooth. When you're talking about a kick slide, this guy is smooth. He cuts off these guys really quick. He's got all the footwork together. The lower half is positioned right. His hands, he keeps his chest plate pretty clean. He's got good hand work. He gets to the chest plate well. The dude just is clean prospect. If I was watching and I didn't know there was an injury, I would say he's the best pass blocking offensive tackle in the draft. That's just what I see. I worry a little bit when it comes to the run blocking. I don't see the aggressiveness and kind of the finish of some of the other guys. When you're talking about Armon Mimbu or you're talking about Kelvin Banks, those guys are finishers. They're intense when it comes to the run. But with Josh Simmons, he is a plug-and-play left tackle. And if you're a team, especially a team like the Rams or one of those that like to throw the football a lot, Josh Simmons has got to be the number one tackle on your board. And so if the injury checks out, I do think that he's worth the 11th pick. The question will be, will the front office sign off on him potentially? You talked about it. We don't know what the knee injury is. I've gotten corrected too. I heard it was an ACL. Then I looked it up. I seen that it was patellar tendon. I don't know exactly what it is. I just know it's not good. And so they've got to figure out exactly how clean it is. But to me, the tackle that jumped off the most when I was watching film was Josh Simmons initially.
He would be my number one.
So, I mean, dude is a stud. And so if at 11 they felt comfortable taking him, he would be the eventual replacement for Trent Williams, no question about it.
And like, again, you know, I'm seeing Invader, you know, medical clears. You don't know by his medicals if he has a setback. We don't know. We're not in those rooms. And I tell people this all the time. Like, the two things – people can harp on us for you got wrong about this player or that player or whatever. The two things that we don't know. We don't know character. We don't know medical. We don't know those things. We know tape. We know stats. We know analytics. That's what we build our stuff off of. I'm not in that medical room at the combine, and you're not going to be either. Do I think they should draft Josh Simmons? I don't. However, the more I watch the tape, I'm not drafting Josh Simmons, but I'm not sure he's off my board. What if Josh Simmons falls to 43? I don't see that happening, but what if he does? Like, we've seen it happen before. You're running. So at pick 43, you would run it in. And so for the people that are absolutely against, like, Invader, Kyle right here, he says, would you guys draft Josh Simmons at 43? These are the questions that have to be asked. You have to ask these questions. So obviously you guys are against drafting at 11, which I am as well. But what if he falls to 32 and you trade up? Like these are the, like, what do you do with the guy? Yeah, right here, Simmons will fall. Needs another year to even play. We don't know that. Maybe he does, but we don't know that. That injury happened in October. It's basically the exact same Brandon Ayuk injury. It seems like it. Obviously, no two injuries are the same and whatever else. But right here, Vader, okay? Oh, at 43, that reminds me of Friday. Did your grandma give you that check? Oh, no, that's different. Like, that's different. At 43, sure, I'd take him first round. But, okay, if Josh Simmons is available at 32, would you trade up and get him and get that fifth year? I'm cool with that, too. Rusty. Drafted him at 11 is when we would commit to rebuild years. We have a chance to return the Super Bowl this year. I agree. And I would bet Josh Simmons is going to start over 10 games this year. I'm comfortable betting that on what I do know. Just like I think, look, 20-year-olds, I'm 42. I was worried. So, like, I take my son to the gym all the time. We work out together. And I was just doing incline press. And, man, like, this random shoulder injury that happened 3 seasons ago on a ski trip just acted back up. Like, where have you been? Like, what the hell? Like, I'm not, like, powerlifting or anything. But it's like, yeah, I'm 42. This guy's 20. Brandon Ayuk's, like, 25, 26. Those youngsters, I'm just saying, right here, Kinlaw was off an injury, too. 100%. Now, those were chronic knee issues that everybody knew about. And the Niners have stayed away from these guys. I'm not making the case should the 49ers draft Josh Simmons. I am trying to have a conversation with somebody that loves O-line play. Where does the value show up? Seems like everybody says it shows up at 43, not 11. So if you trade back to 24, would you take him at 24?
I think that anywhere between 20 and 32 is tremendous value for Josh Simmons. And I get it. The injury is going to scare people. And I think the 49 fans have it the worst because we had Trent Baalke and he drafted everyone that had knee injuries. But Josh Simmons would literally have been probably the second tackle off the board last year behind Joe Alt. I mean, that's how good he was. If he would have played through the whole season, that's how good he would have been. No lie, he would have been a top five pick. So when you're looking at the value, that's who he is. But I understand if the medical scares people away. And so somebody's going to take a chance, though. You're talking the Rams or one of those teams at the end of the first round. They're going to take a player like this that they can plug and play and be their generational left tackle for years to come. That's what they see. But I understand if the 49ers don't want to go at 11. There's a lot of players I wouldn't go at 11 because I don't think the value's there. For Josh Simmons, it's all about injury. And so, yeah, in the 20s, I'd consider it. And like you said, trading back into the first round, pick 32, getting Josh Simmons, that he could plug and play left guard and then be your eventual replacement for Trent Williams. It just makes sense. Now, you might not have that ability to do that, and there's a lot of players I like in the second round, but that's the kind of player that he is. He's that talented.
There we go. Okay, real quick, I'm just going to throw you a curveball here. 49ers are on the clock. You're down to these four players, okay? We're going to go Walter Nolan, Mikael Williams. We're going to go Armand Membu or Luther Burden. You have to pick one of these four. You can't trade back. You got to pick one of these four. Ant, who you going? Membu, Nolan, Mikael Williams, Luther Burden. Who you doing? Who you going with?
I'm probably going to take Walter Nolan if I have to choose between those guys. I do think this is one of the heaviest defensive tackle drafts. I love players in the late second, early third. In my mock draft that I didn't take a defensive tackle until round three with Omar Norman Lott, one of the guys, former Grant High School guy, so huge fan of him, watched him play in high school. I think that Walter Nolan is a special player. I honestly don't really love any of those guys at 11. I love the trade back scenario. Yeah. There's no one that I'm really wanting so much, but I think Walter Nolan has a tremendous amount of upside, which could allow you to address other positions in the second round and third round, which you need to address. So to me, that would be a solid pick. But yeah, it's interesting that with the names that you gave, Walter Nolan was the one that stood out. And that's probably where I would go. He's a pretty good player. I think he is going to be considered a top 15 pick when all is said and done.
Okay, so I want to do this exercise, and Ant is not prepared. This is Final Jeopardy. I'm going to give you a list of names. You have to tell me, yes, stay at 11 and pick them, or not in love with them. Okay, so like I'm trying to determine basically as like a thermostat how Ant feels about this prospect at 11, run the card in, or let me look around. Okay, so yeah, run the card in, or let me look around. Okay, here we go. We're going to go over some easy ones first. Okay, Abdul Carter.
Absolutely, run it in.
Travis Hunter.
Run it in.
Mason Graham.
Run it in.
Will Campbell. Ooh, you heard it. You heard it.
It's going to get interesting. I think, I mean, it depends on what you plan on doing in the rest of the draft, but yeah, he's definitely one of those guys that could start day one, so I would probably make the pick.
Okay, Will Johnson.
No.
Tet McMillan.
If I'm Kyle Shanahan, maybe. No, I wouldn't. But, you know.
Okay, Ashton Jeanty.
No.
Mikael Williams.
No.
Kelvin Banks.
Yes.
Ooh, there we go. Tyler Warren.
No.
Jalen Walker.
No.
James Pierce Jr., edge.
No, but I like him.
Oh, I do too. My favorite thing, I just finished a breakdown of Omar Norman Lott and James Pierce and put that up on our Patreon. Go check it out, the49ersrush.com. I had no clue how good he is versus the run. I know he's a speed rusher. His blocker IQ and diagnosing blocks might be the best in the draft of any defensive lineman. Like he's not an anchor guy, but that dude could spill guard counter like crazy. Yeah, I really like James Pierce. I still don't want him at 11. But I'm with you. No, but I like him. I like him. Okay, we're not done. Malachi Starks, safety.
No.
Luther Burden.
No.
Shamar Stewart.
No.
Mike Green.
No.
Armon Mipu.
No.
Tyler Booker?
Ooh, if we were going interior offensive line, yeah, but I don't think the 49ers would go Tyler Booker that high, but I think he's worthy of a top 15 pick. I think he's that good.
I do too.
But I'll say no.
Okay, Colston Loveland.
Oh, I like Colston Loveland. That's my favorite tight end in the draft.
Mine too.
But not at 11, no.
No. Okay. Walter Nolan.
I think if I needed the highest defensive tackle left on the board, I would say yes. But I don't love Walter Nolan at 11. I like him a lot more. Around 20.
I do too. Kenneth Grant.
No.
Jahdae Barron.
No, but he's a really good player, and I like him.
Man, I'm telling you. Okay, Nick Squarton. Where's Josh? He's not watching, but this is his guy, Nick Squarton.
I don't love him at 11, but I do love him. Nick Squarton, I took in my mock draft. I've only done one mock draft, and I took Nick Squarton, and it definitely got people's attention. I think he could eventually be a guy that is that level. But I wouldn't run the card in. I would have to really think about it. So I'll say no.
Here we go. I got just a couple more. Jihad Campbell.
I love Jihad Campbell. I think he's the best linebacker in the draft. 11 for a linebacker, though. Ugh. If Dre Greenlaw left, potentially, we know the 49ers would take a linebacker at the end of the first round. I don't think they would go at 11. I'll say no. But mid-20s would be you'd have to.
Okay, I got two more. Donovan Jackson.
Love Donovan Jackson. I love him but not 11.
No,
I can't do it. I would love to trade up in the second round and get him in the early 30s if he made it that far, because I think he's a plug and play left guard. If they drafted Donovan Jackson, they could literally start him the way they did Dominic Pooney last year at left guard and be set for the next several years. I like him a lot, but 11 for an interior offensive lineman, you just don't do that.
All right, last one, Gray Zabel.
I'm not as high on Gray Zabel as everyone else, so that would be a no for me. I think, when you get to the end of the second round is where I kind of see him, but a lot of people are moving him all the way up at the beginning of the second round. Even some people saying early first round. It reminds me of some guys in the past. You see the Patriots jumped and got a guy early on before, so it definitely happens, but I don't see him as that guy.
Yeah, and I think – again, I apologize to Ant because I didn't preface this for him and allow him to prepare. I wanted the instant reaction. And my favorite was the, like you can feel the tension. And I think with this, I think we all want to trade back. Yeah. There were, I think, four players that you said yes. And that was like Kelvin Banks, Abdul Carter, Mason Graham, Travis, Hunter. That was about it. I think there were just four. And then there were a lot of, I like them, but well, we're picking at 11. We're not picking at 4. And I think other teams are going to feel the same way. I don't think there's any way Kelvin Banks is there at 11. I hope that he is. But anyway, Now, Slick says, JC, when does free agency start? So if we look at the NFL calendar, we just hit the franchise tag players. Niners don't have anybody that's involved in that. The scouting combine starts on February 24th, so we're 4 days away from that. Then free agency, there's not – the NFL is so, like, nuanced. Even free agency has three dates. It's not just one date. So there's March 10th where the negotiation periods begin. That's the pre-tampering period with whatever the hell, where you could report and talk to other teams and agree on a contract, but it doesn't become finalized till March 12th. So March 10th is where you're going to get all the big name signings and whatever else. March 12th is where all those contracts finally come across the table. So, man, we are less than a month out. We're 4 days from the start of the combine. The NFL has manufactured a year-round schedule that just does not sleep. And I, for one, love it, not just because this is my job career, but because I just freaking love the NFL. I do wish they would push the combine back more. I do think we need more time from the end of the Super Bowl and the Senior Bowl to the combine. I wish there was more time there. That's just me personally. I don't know. What are your thoughts on free agency, combine upcoming, all those things?
Yeah, I think it comes really quick, the combine, but I think that's the reason they do it. They're trying to hit the combine, then hit free agency, then, you know, hit the pro days in the draft. They're just trying to keep it consistently flowing, and it's, you know, not too long after that, and then all of a sudden you get the schedule release. Like, the NFL is undefeated with how they handle keeping everyone engaged at all times. And so I think a lot of people would love for the combine to go back a little bit, but there are 30 teams or, you know, pretty much probably a good 22 teams that look at it like, we've been out for a long time. We're prepared for the combine. It's the teams that went to the Super Bowl that are like, oh, I don't have enough time. Well, you don't need as much time. You know what I mean? So I think it hurt the 49ers in the past, you know, preparing for the combine. Coaches wouldn't even go. But, you know, now they've had plenty of time. So I think it just depends on what kind of team you are. If you're a team that always goes deep, yeah, you want it pushed back. If you're a team that doesn't, it doesn't really matter to you. You've had plenty of time to prepare.
I like that. And probably our final question here, shout out to the man, Rusty. He said, I've asked before, but got to go again. Would the rest of the offensive line improve by replacing a center with a guy not ranked as bad as ours? This is a Jake Brindle question. Does Jake Brindle hold this offensive line back?
Absolutely. I think anytime that you have a player that you feel is, you know, potentially the worst along the offensive line, you're only going to get to that level, whatever it is. So if you improve that position and you get a top flight center, it elevates the entire team. And, you know, the guy's got to be able to fit the role and be able to, you know, be able to give all the signals and do all the calls and that sort of thing, which Jake Brindle does. But you got to think that if you're getting a guy that's playing better on the field, it just makes everyone better. But that's how it is with all positions. If you get a better left guard than you had, the offensive line is going to be better. If you get a better right tackle than you've had, it's going to get better. So you're always trying to improve. But I do think center is a spot where the 49ers can get a lot better. And I think that would have ripple effects amongst the entire offensive line.
Ain't got to convince me, man. I hate people that stop playing before the whistle. Like, I just can't. There's just certain things that I just do not enter my brain head. And stopping while the play is going on to watch your teammates play football, oh, my gosh. All-time watcher, Jake Brindle. But he is durable. You got to give him that. He never gets injured, and that is awesome. So, Ant, can you tell us about a show or where we could check you out? If you guys have not subscribed to the 49ers Cutback, what the hell is wrong with you? Go support this show. It is incredible. Ant, where can we find you? What's the show upcoming? Anything you can tease us with so that we can head over to your show and hit subscribe.
Yeah, so I've been putting out a lot of videos. Yesterday, I put out a video about linebackers in the draft. So I've been trying to mix free agency with the draft and kind of break down some of those players. So if you're interested about like Jihad Campbell and some of those guys and how they fit, maybe some guys late like Chris Paul or some of those guys in the second round, go check that video out. And then tomorrow, my plan is to put out a video, and I say plan because plans change, but I plan to put out a video about kind of orchestrating an offseason that benefits the 49ers the most, who to sign, who not to sign, and kind of building an offseason plan for the 49ers that would produce the best potential rewards. And we know that doesn't always happen, But it's kind of a good look at what they'll do in some places they might have to skimp and some cuts they might have to make this team the best that it possibly can.
Oh, I freaking love it. When Ant speaks, we should listen. The Dominique Pooney pelt is on the wall. This dude was telling us all offseason. Listen to this, man. Ant, you are incredible. I want to say thank you to all of the faithful for showing up. Man, we are in the offseason. Energies are good. I'm so pumped, and I can't wait till next Thursday. If you have questions that you want me and Ant to talk about on the show, please email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, you are the best. Stay strong, faithful.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.